Welcome back to the Thriving Thyroid Podcast, where we choose to become empowered patients and take our health into our own hands. Hi, I'm Shannon Hansen, a Christian entrepreneur, a mom of three, and after dealing with my own health mysteries, I made it my mission to learn everything I could about the thyroid. I soon became certified as a holistic wellness practitioner, a functional nutrition practitioner, and a functional diagnostic practitioner, and so much more. After that, I founded the revolutionary thyroid program, the Hansen Method. As a health professional and a mom, I fully understand the importance of having a fun, simple, and sustainable plan for achieving a responsive thyroid. So I share actionable and practical strategies for developing a responsive thyroid so that the ambitious moms and women can gain freedom from fatigue and lose the thyroid weight once and for all. Each week, I will be here for you. Along with my guest experts, we will be sharing simple and tangible tips that work for not only your thyroid, your hormones, your family, and your mindset so that you can get back to living the life that you envision for yourself. Welcome to the Thriving Thyroid Podcast. Welcome, you guys. I am super excited to have Lori on the call with me today or on the podcast. We're going to be talking about mindset and the obstacles that many of us face in investing in ourselves, whether it be financially, whether it be emotionally, whether it be spiritually. And I am so excited because she's just going to be sharing all of her words of wisdom. So Lori, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you. I'm so excited to hang out with you.
Yeah. So for everybody who is listening, do you mind just sharing a little bit about your background, what you do for a job, and how you got here?
Yes. So I'll give a very short version. So it's been a journey, and I feel like there's never an end point. So started out with a bachelor's degree in nutrition and food science, and then added in certified personal training, and then went back to school and earned a bachelor's in nursing. Decided I missed the coaching aspect, the fitness aspect, and dove into online fitness coaching. And then I had a moment, which we can talk about, but a moment that really changed a lot for me. And I felt this undeniable pull to launch my own business. And so that's what I did at the beginning of 2020, pandemic and all. And that leads us to hanging out here now together.
Wow. Okay. So a bachelor's in food science, personal training, you did coaching. How long did you do that for?
The fitness coaching?
Yeah, fitness and yeah.
Yep. So about 2 years ago, I think, and I still do it, just very, very side, part-time. I love it though. I've always been into sports and health and fitness and all of it. So it's been about 2 years, and it started out as a little workplace. Hey, let's do a 30-day fitness challenge. And then nobody wanted to leave. So we just kept going and kept adding women and kept inspiring each other. And it's morphed into something way more than just fitness, which for me, I like to think of it as sanity above vanity.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. I love that because I think a lot of women choose to use exercise as a form of like punishment. Or, yes. You know, I ate this food and now I need to go work out at the gym, when in actuality, it produces endorphins. And I'm sure you can share all of the wisdom behind that, but it produces those happy feelings, which is what so many of us are actually craving. So I love.
Yes, definitely. I view it as, so I have my own mental health history and background. I've dealt with depression. I've dealt with postpartum depression, anxiety. And for me, exercise is so crucial for my overall health and well-being. And I coach that it's not a punishment. It is a gift to be able to move our bodies. And I encourage women, I think that's where a lot of us get stuck, and believing that you have to move a certain way or exercise a certain way. You don't. Mm-hmm. It really is just, it's a gift to be able to move our bodies and then reap the benefits of how good it feels after.
Oh, I love that so much. So you mentioned that there was kind of a moment, something happened that led you back to where you're at right now, coaching and working with women. What was that? What happened?
Yep. So this is going to be probably episode one of the podcast that I'm launching in January, but I still vividly remember I was on my lunch break, pediatric nurse. So I was on my lunch break sitting in my car, and a mom had approached me online saying that she wanted to get started with fitness. And okay, great. Let's chat. Let's figure out what that looks like for you. What do you want to do? And I'm all about being very specific in planning and goal setting. And so I started the conversation by saying, okay, where can you carve out 30 minutes for yourself, even just a couple times a week? And she immediately said, I don't have 30 minutes for myself. Mm-hmm. And I am never, ever, ever one to be speechless, ever. But I had no words in that moment. I'm like, what do you mean you don't have 30 minutes to yourself? And not in a shameful way,
right?
Just in a way that did two things for me. It made me really, really sad. Mm-hmm. And it made me really, really angry at how that this is, she was not an exception to the rule. This is so common. And I understood at that point, as I thought, if I could just lead women to fitness and moving their body, everything else will fall into place. They'll feel great. It'll just be like a row of dominoes. But in that moment, I realized, I think for the majority of women, the majority of moms, exercise is not the first step. There was more that had a lot more that had to come beforehand. And so that's what I got intent on creating, and that launched, that was the core of my business, what I put together.
Okay, so fitness, right? Mm-hmm. Centered around that. Now, what, okay, so I'm gonna kind of derail for a second here.
Derail, do it.
My husband and I were just talking today about this year, where our mindset has gone compared to previous years. So mm-hmm. previous years, we would say things like, oh, we don't have time for that. We can't do that. We can't afford that. It was always, we can't over mm-hmm. And over again. And one of the things that we started really focusing and honing in on this year was, how can I? Mm-hmm. Not, we can't, but let's get resourceful. Let's look for a way to be able to afford, you know, said things. Or right. how can we make time? Because all of us have 24 hours in a day, right?
Yes, yes.
And, you know, this person can go to the gym twice a day for an hour apiece. How can I make 30 minutes to work out for myself at home, for my mental health, for my mm-hmm. wellness, for centering myself so that I can show up and be a better mom, be a better mm-hmm. wife, be a better employee, you know? And I think that this is a roadblock that I'm sure you see happen over and over again, is just this block or this barrier. Instead of saying, how can I, we say, I can't, or I don't right. have that. And immediately yep. we go into that scarcity or that emptiness or, you know, whatever it is, instead of
right.
looking for an alternative option.
Yep. Yep, exactly.
Okay. So let me ask you, what mindset obstacles did you personally have to overcome when you, in that moment, seeing this other woman struggling, you know, being angry, being, you know, all of your emotions, what happened for you?
So I think that's one of the biggest mindset traps of all time. Because immediately I thought, okay, well, I'm going to create the solution. I'm going to figure it out. I want to give the answers. And then almost immediately, which I think is what happens for women, especially in business, there's that voice of, well, who do you think you are to do this, to figure this out? And just like I teach my clients in the mindset module, you just have to go shh, shh, and quiet what I call that mean, that inner voice. And so it's getting really, really clear on listening to that unconscious or subconscious chatter that we all have. And I answered back like that I'm me. I do have tools and wisdom and love and passion to share, and I'm going to do it.
Yes. Yeah. Because you have gifts and talents and abilities that are unique to you. Mm-hmm. And I feel like when God or, you know, whatever you guys believe, higher power, you know, whatever that may be for you, when that call happens, we almost have to answer the call. And I remember I fought it for a long time.
Yeah. And I'm covered in goosebumps because I think I said this to a client recently on a group coaching call, but there have been 4 times in my life that I knew without a shadow of a doubt that I was supposed to do something. 1, marry my husband. Easy. 2, have, 2 in chronological order, was go back to school and become a nurse. Mm. 3 was have our second child almost a decade after the first. And the 4th was launch a business, launch an online business. And so does that mean it's going to be easy? No. But when you have, and I do, I'm with you. I believe that it is truly a calling too. Like God does not place these things in our hearts and our minds just for kicks, that we are then called to move forward with it and take charge with it, take charge of it. And no, it's not going to be easy, but you figure it out. Just like you said, how can I figure this out?
Yeah. And that, I mean, if we just stop here for a second and look at the growth that happens when things are hard.
Yes.
Right? That's, diamonds are created under pressure. Yes. Women, magical women, amazing women, inspiring women, they are all created under pressure. And I love the saying, take your mess and turn it into your message.
Yes.
So.
Yes. I'm going to have to steal that. I'll credit you.
Oh, I didn't come up with that. Okay. I don't know where that came from, but I love that because I think, at least for me, all of the things that I've dealt with, it shows up in my coaching, it shows up in my podcast, it shows up on these interviews and all these different things. And I've chosen to take the 50% of the bad, right? Because I believe if we look at everything as 100%, 50% of our life is good and 50% of it is bad, right? And I choose to look at the bad as a positive, right? Mm-hmm. How can I look at this different? How can I use exercise, like you were saying earlier, as an enjoyment, as a way to fill my cup, mm-hmm. versus depleting me and making it out of guilt and shame and embarrassment and punishment and I should.
Right.
You know?
Exactly. I think one thing I shared with a client, there was this one random week where everybody just had a harder week. And so we were chatting about it in one of our group coaching calls. And I will take credit for this phrase because it came to me that rather than looking at something as a breakdown, things are breaking down, having a breakdown. No, those are your opportunities to have a breakthrough. Mm-hmm. And that's really, it's true. It's so true.
Yeah, I love that so much. So in the midst of all of these things happening in your life, how did you learn how to prioritize yourself?
So I think I have always prided myself on how I care for myself. That's just, it's always been something within me that I love taking care of myself, body, mind, and spirit. And so when I was pregnant with my first, and I've shared this, I think, on posts, but I remember my water broke. We were getting ready to head to the hospital. And I promised myself that I would not become the mom that loses herself in motherhood. That no matter what it took, I would keep a piece of me as just me, not employee or wife or mom, whatever, just me. Mm. And that I promise myself that wasn't going to change. And it takes trial and error. You have to figure out what works and what doesn't, because it's a little different when you're keeping a little human alive. But if you are committed to it, you have that attitude of how can I make this work, you will figure it out. So for me, a lot of trial and error. And of course, once you figure out something, the nap schedule changes or whatever, different seasons of motherhood. But I think the biggest thing is just making the decision that it's a non-negotiable to take care of yourself, of myself, of ourselves.
Yes. Well, and it's so interesting to hear you say that you, on the way to the hospital, you made that decision. I was so clueless. I had my baby at like 21, and I wasn't
far behind you.
Like, it didn't even occur to me that becoming a mom, like, there was a part, like, there was a new identity that was going to be associated with it, and I couldn't lose myself in the process. So I totally lost myself. And I remember just feeling really sad and depressed, and I'm like, who am I and what am I doing? And, all of those different pieces and components and things. And it wasn't until later that I really identified, oh, who is Shannon? Who am I supposed to be?
Right.
You know? So.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, all you have to do is, sadly, which is what I'm trying to change, is look around and you see, well, sometimes you don't see it, because I think one issue is that most people put on the happy face, right? And they don't show what's really going on. But it's so common for moms to lose themselves physically, mentally, emotionally.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't have time for this anymore. I can't do that anymore. No, it's just that you have to figure out a new way, a different way. And so those are the tools and the resources that I wanted to gift through my program.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have to go here for just a minute. As women, we have to ask for help. This is an area that I am so terrible at. I'm so bad at this. And there's been many dark, lonely periods of my life where I wouldn't tell someone that I was even struggling, but I wanted someone to come, like, save me, to come rescue me, to help me feel better about myself or the situation or whatever it was. But people want to show up. And they want to help you, but they can only help you if you ask for help.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And
that
takes vulnerability, and that takes you being open to saying, oh my gosh, I'm a hot mess and I need help.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's also knowing, I mean, throughout this year, I've had those moments where I raise my hand, a trusted friend will ask, you know, how are you? And they actually mean it. It's not just that flippant, hi, how are you? Yeah. And I would say, not so good. And that's one way that communication channel, that vulnerability channel can be opened, is to take the opportunities. When someone asks, someone that you trust, someone that you love, how are you? Answer honestly. Answer in a vulnerable way so that you can then be cared for, at least uplifted in some way.
Yes. And that's where you will find your tribe of friends, of coworkers, of, you know, colleagues, whatever you want to call it. That's where you will find the people who will stick with you through anything, is when you choose to be vulnerable with them and they choose to be vulnerable with you. And that was something that I really had to learn over the last 2 years. I'm like, man, I really just don't have good friends. I have friends, but I don't have good friends. The friends that, like, when, like you said, when you're having a really bad day and you're like, I'm not doing good. And they're like, oh my gosh, what can I do to help you? Right.
Yeah.
And they want to invest in you and they want to invest in your relationship. And I think as a society, especially as moms, women, entrepreneurs, whatever, we wear this badge of, I got it. Everything's fine. No big deal. I can do it. You know, and we just keep trying to push and push and push and plow and, you know, dig harder and work harder, when a friend would be there for you and just be like, yeah, I'll hold your baby. No big deal.
Yes. And you know, more you have that toughness, like, I'm just going to do it. I'm going to do more. I'm going to work harder. that's going to lead to a bigger breakdown in the long run than if you just call a little time out and figure things out before they build up and get harder to figure out.
Absolutely. Yeah, I totally agree with that. What has made the biggest impact for you in changing your outlook on self-care and taking care of your mind, your body, your spirit, all of those things?
Mm-hmm. So again, going back to that, for me, and actually I would venture to say for everybody to some degree, but it's my self-care is non-negotiable. It's essential. And it's gonna look different ways during different seasons. It's always fluctuating, but the bottom line is that when I take care of my body and my mind and my spirit, I really, really, really like who I am. Mm-hmm. I like how I talk. I like how I think. I like how I connect. Now, I like how I am as a mom and a wife and a nurse and a friend and a daughter. It's just, I'm a me that I really, really like and want to spend time with and want to be around, which is a good thing because we're stuck with ourselves. So we might as well enjoy our own company.
Absolutely. You can't see me, but I'm over here like nodding my head, you know, profusely, like, yes.
Because, you know, here's what happens when we don't enjoy our own company. We try, there's this thing called escapism. Mm. So it's binging on Netflix or food or alcohol or trying to push away those, you know, that want to be around you. It's mind-numbing scrolling on social media because you're trying to escape yourself, but you can't.
Yes.
So you got to turn around and figure stuff out, whatever that may be. And yeah, that's harder than numbing out, but in the long run, it's all worth it.
I love that you said that because I have found myself doing that from time to time where you're right. It's like, it's so hard to face reality.
Yep.
And it's so hard to have, I'm going to say, conversations with people who may have, okay, here's a little insight into Shannon, because I believe in being vulnerable. So
yes.
last December, I had a really big falling out with a person that meant a lot to me. And looking at it now, it was just a massive miscommunication. I got a text message that I read and I interpreted a certain way. And I internalized it as, you know, negative. We'll just say negative. I internalized it as a personal attack on me, a personal attack on my kids. And it felt really, really bad.
Yeah.
And I closed myself off from that relationship. And I was like, you know what? That's fine. We're done. Like, I don't need you in my life. I don't care if we're blood related. Like, I don't need that. Mm-hmm. And it was all because of the interpretation. And the result of that was the mind numbing, the binging on Netflix, the binging on food, the binging on, you know, all of these things to make me quote unquote feel good in that moment versus saying, you know what? Maybe this result that I'm experiencing isn't the result that I want in terms of that relationship, but I couldn't even, because I was just numbing everything, I couldn't even see a way out of it.
Yeah.
Now, I will give a follow-up to that. We've had to redefine relationship so that I feel safe. It's not that I have to go into a relationship and put myself in an uncomfortable situation, but we have to really just look at, you know, what feels good for me, how does it feel, what do I need to do, and think and figure out our way through that versus just numbing, because that numbing, it just keeps it there and in the back of your mind, and you just stay stuck for way longer than you need to be.
Right. And I think there's something to be said for, it's not that Netflix is bad or watching a show is bad or going on social media is bad, but it's the purpose behind it. Yeah. And I think if you go into it like, okay, I'm going to spend 30 minutes doing X, Y, and Z. I'm going to let myself just zone out. That's completely different than I don't want to face anything that maybe would be good to face. So yeah. I get it. I'm with you.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And there are times where I will just go and set in a timer on my phone for 30 minutes. I'll watch a movie on my phone, you know, in my bed, because I just need that numbiness. But it's the 4, 5, 6 hours, you know, of behavior, whatever it is.
Yes. Yes.
And there, some women jump from one behavior to the next behavior to the next, where it's like binge eating, then laying in bed, then watching Netflix, then scrolling social media, you know, that kind of. So yeah. I want to go back and ask you, because I feel like self-care is such a buzzword right now.
Yes.
What is that?
Mm-hmm.
What is self-care?
Yep. I'm so glad you asked. And this is going to be a little ping to a future episode too. But so a lot of women, when they come into my community or my program, they look at self-care as manicures, mm-hmm. pedicures, bubble baths, long showers. And one of my catchphrases is, personal hygiene is not self-care. taking a shower should be just a given. So, but they all fit into the self-care realm, I believe. So I like to think of it actually as a hierarchy, a self-care hierarchy. So you've got this triangle. So at the bottom is the personal hygiene, the basic hygiene. Showering, getting dressed, just taking care of yourself.
Brushing your teeth.
The middle part. What's that?
I said brushing your teeth.
Brushing your teeth, maybe flossing your teeth. Yes, yes. So that's the foundation. That's the please do this stuff. Then the middle is the pampering. So yeah, having a candlelit bubble bath, treating yourself to a manicure, pedicure, doing your nails at home. That's, of course, yes, self-care. And then what I think the top level of self-care and what I coach on and what I talk about are, I said this last night on a coaching video, it's saying yes to something or saying no to something that you'll thank yourself for later. So to me, that's the highest level of self-care, because it's saying yes to something that you really don't want to do or really want to say no to. And it's saying no to something in that moment that maybe you really want to do, because you know tomorrow or next week or next month or next year, you're going to say, ah, thank you, Lori. Thank you, Shannon. Thank you for doing that or not doing that. And I think when you can get to that level of self-care, that's where it's at.
I love that. I honestly had no idea where you were going with that. And I was like, oh no, because I felt like nannies, petties is like one of the top things for like self-care. But I love that saying yes to something or saying no to something that is honoring you.
Yes.
The most self-loving thing that you can do. My kids would be like, Mom, can you do this with me? And I'm like, no, I really don't want to do that. I will color with you. I will do a puzzle with you. I will, you know, do all of these other things. And sometimes I would be like, okay, but Mommy's only going to do this for a couple minutes, because I do love them and I want to nurture that relationship. But I will be honest with my kids. This isn't my favorite thing to do, but I will do it with you for a period of time. And then we can go color for 4 hours, you know, or we can go to the park for, you know, all day, because those are things that I like and I enjoy and that I am good at. Right.
Right.
So I love that. That is amazing. I absolutely love that.
Oh. And I think it goes to the things like how you manage your time, you know, what you prioritize, getting a workout in, getting up early to have quiet time just to yourself. Do I necessarily want to wake up at 5 or 5:30 X number of days per week? No, not necessarily, but I sure love the side effect of it. And so for me, that's the greatest self-care that I can give myself. And it showers everyone else, everything else in that goodness.
Yeah, I love that. So I guess that kind of leads me into my next sub-question about self-care. How does self-care look different for each person?
That is a good question. So I think, especially since we're talking about women and motherhood, I think that it's very dependent upon your bandwidth and your season of life. So if you're in the trenches as a new mom, you have a newborn, you're not going to be able to do all the self-care things. You're going to have to get really, really focused and prioritize the things that are going to give the biggest bang for your buck. And, you know, it's probably not waking up at 5 or 5:30 to get in a workout, because at that point, sleep is very essential. Yes. But maybe it is more the pampering things, like having a spouse or whoever watch a little one and sneak away and get a little pedicure. So I think it really depends on your season of life and how much bandwidth you have at that moment.
And one of the things I think I've learned for myself is along the lines of what you were talking about, self-care looks different based off the different seasons that I'm in. Sometimes I have flowing money, right? And I can go do a mani-pedi and it's no big deal. Whereas other times, you know, Christmas, birthdays, holidays, whatever, you know, building a house, that's what we're currently doing. The money is like, oh, it's there, but we're choosing to prioritize it in another way. And I think that that's one of the things that we need to be okay with as women is, this is what I have. And maybe it's just sitting in a bath with the door locked and your kids banging on the door and you've got your earbuds in and you're trying to drown it out. Like, that could be enough self-care. Or going on a hike by yourself could be enough self-care, right? You're not spending any money. You're not having to do a massage and manis and pedis and, you know, blowing all this money, but you're finding options that fill you up. Walking around the block, that costs zero money. You know?
Yes. Yeah. I think, and my pre-community is Simple Shifts in Motherhood. So I'm all about keeping things simple. So if you're in a season of crazy with very little bandwidth, sit in the sun with your kids outside to eat lunch. When you make yourself breakfast or lunch, make it look pretty for yourself. You're going to eat anyway. So just little things to love yourself will go a long way. It doesn't have to be elaborate. It doesn't have to be super time consuming. It doesn't have to cost money, like you said, but little daily simple things to love yourself.
Okay, I'm going to drop a Shannon thing. This is, so when I was really struggling with my self-identity, self-care, you know, things like that, I was staying in my pajamas all day long. And I wasn't really getting dressed. I'd be, you know, or if I was getting dressed, I would just put on a new pair of yoga pants and a t-shirt and, you know, whatever. And my hair would be in a top knot and, you know, maybe a little mascara or something. But I, making the shift to just getting dressed every single day and putting on a little bit more makeup, and because that makes me feel good, right? I felt really put together internally. And it was amazing the things that I started to get done around the house and my thought process and everything, because I took time to take care of myself. And just putting on jeans and a t-shirt, even if they were loose jeans, you know, nothing special, I felt different and I performed different in my job, you know, at home.
Yep, definitely. Yeah. When you feel good, you're going to exude a different energy, a different attitude. So it's like you said, it's simple. It's something as simple as getting dressed. I love that.
Yeah. Tell people where they can find you on social media.
So mainly within my community, free Facebook community, it's called Simple Shifts in Motherhood. That would be the main place, and a podcast coming in January.
Amazing. Well, once you have all of those, we will link those up for everybody in the show notes. And this will be going live here the first week of January. So your podcast comes out January 11th, right?
Yep. Yes.
Okay. So that will be something everybody can look forward to shortly after this airs. So is there anything else, Lori, that you would love to tell the women, tell the listeners?
Yes, actually. I wanted to talk, and I can be very brief, about the financial mindset.
Oh, I love that. Yes.
because that was something important to me that I wanted to make sure we touched on for your listeners, financial mindset. So I think a lot of people, especially women, we're not really good at prioritizing ourselves always or taking care of ourselves always. And we think, gosh, I can't spend this money on myself, right? There would be guilt, right? There would be guilt. But one thing that I think is so important when you're making any financial decision, but especially in regards to your health or well-being, self-care, that each choice has a cost. So most people just look at, if I say yes to this, there's going to be a cost and that's it. Well, no, that there's a cost to saying no to something too. There's a cost to not taking action. So saying yes, yeah, there's a financial cost. But saying no, there's a cost to that too. Because staying stuck, staying uncomfortable, staying, I mean, all those words that we don't like, that costs us greatly. So I just wanted to throw that out there because I think that's really important to consider the alternative.
Yes, absolutely. And I know the women that you work with are a little bit different than the ones that I work with, but it's been so devastating to me over the last, I'm going to say month and a half. Women are quitting their job. They're getting fired, you know, because their job is impacting, or their health, excuse me, is impacting their job and the quality of the job that they're doing. And either they quit before their employer fires them, or their employer fires them because they're not dependable.
Yeah. And
mental health, I know you do a lot with depression, anxiety, you know, helping women kind of out of that funk. Yeah. Even if you're a stay-at-home mom, you guys, if you can't show up for your kids and perform your job, taking care of them, you know, I mean, it's costing you more than it would ever cost you financially.
Yeah.
So, yep. Thank you so much for sharing that. I really appreciate today. I feel like I got some good nuggets. I took a few notes myself. So I really appreciate you being here, and we will chat later.
Thanks, Shannon.
Thank you.
If you have been looking for a personal thyroid protocol, well, look no further. Sustainable Wellness is now offering a new service for all new clients. This service is designed to provide you with the tools that you need to get your thyroid to respond to the medication and other dietary and lifestyle changes that you are making so that you can optimize your health and wellness. It's been our experience that our clients have done all of the work. They've gone gluten-free and dairy-free and grain-free and soy-free, and they've cut out carbs and they've cut out major food groups in hopes that they would start feeling better. If you're sick and tired of having low energy and you're ready to just figure this out, if you're ready for the energy, you want less pain and less inflammation, if you want to start being able to lose the thyroid weight, if you want to have better digestive health, reduce the gas, the bloating, the constipation, the diarrhea, the heartburn, and have an increased libido, balance out cholesterol levels, and reduce anxiety and depression, look no further. This personal protocol will be a 90-day protocol that you will follow. You will meet with myself or one of our success coaches to go over your medical history and come up with a plan and a protocol that will best suit you so that you can get rid of all of these obnoxious thyroid symptoms. So here's how it works. Once you complete your order, you will fill out the intake form, you will sign all of the forms and the waivers, and you will submit your most recent lab work through our client portal. Then you will schedule your initial consultation, like I said, with one of our success coaches or myself to go over your health concerns. And then within 2 weeks, you will receive that personal protocol that will include dietary changes, supplement recommendations, and lifestyle recommendations. Once you receive your personal protocol, you will have 2 weeks of email support through our client portal to help answer any and all questions pertaining to your protocol. If this is something that you are interested in, I recommend heading over to the show notes ASAP because we only have a limited amount of spots available. I look forward to working with you soon.
Wait before you go!
Please subscribe if you found value in today's episode. Leave us a review and share on Instagram, and please tag us.
We love your reviews!